Live call-in talk show. It's your turn. Weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome, welcome. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program for a Tuesday, a glorious Tuesday, for the middle of February.
Spectacular Tuesday.
If this were June, you'd say kind of chilly, but hey, sunshine, 40 degrees, 50 tomorrow, near 60 on Thursday. Shake me, wake me when it's over, huh?
This is perfect weather for a Mardi Gras parade.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mardi Gras. Now, one of our guests, whom you've already heard, Stan Kosciuszko, president of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce. I know I can ask him about Mardi Gras because you are fluent in French, right?
Oh, oui, oui.
Yes. You studied in France, didn't you?
J'ai fait mes études à la Sorbonne.
Okay, now,
I got my master's in French literature, culture, and history. Wow. I went to the Sorbonne for 4 years. Yeah.
Well, Mardi Gras in French means Fat Tuesday, yeah. Right? Yeah. Mardi is the French word for Tuesday.
Tuesday.
And gras is
means
big.
Fat.
Yeah, fat. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Whenever we say Fat Tuesday, that's the same as Mardi Gras.
That's the day you're supposed to fatten yourself up before Lent, because
right.
Lent starts tomorrow,
Lent
Ash
starts
Wednesday.
Tomorrow, Ash Wednesday, yeah.
So drink, eat, and be merry, because
absolutely.
Tomorrow we get religious.
That's right.
Have an extra donut or two.
Have an extra donut. Yeah. In my case, it was always have an extra bottle of wine.
or a donut, too.
That or a donut, a beignet.
Mm-hmm. Stan Kosciuszko is here, president of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce, along with the new board chair of the chamber, and that's Karen Brackett, vice president at Next Tier Bank. Karen, good to see you. Nice to have you here, too.
Great to see you and great to be here. We have a lot of things going on this year in the chamber, and Stan and I are really looking forward to talking to you about it.
Well, we'll cover that today. Later on the program today, in fact, our next guest will be Mary Ann Eisenreich. She is the executive director of the United Way of Butler County. And they got some new things. In fact, they're in a new location now since I've talked to them.
Yeah, they're down there with C.W. Howard, there on the island, and they just released their new newsletter. I just read their new newsletter.
Wow.
It was nice, electronic newsletter, and they have these beautiful bags they were giving away at the expo at the mall. We had our expo at the mall last weekend. And it is not the first Tuesday of February. For those of you who regularly first Tuesday tune in to hear Stan, I'm sorry, it is not the first Tuesday.
Well, we had to make some adjustments.
We had to make some adjustments.
Yeah. It was a snow day.
I'm getting old and whatever.
That happens once in a while. That happens quite a bit.
It happens, and I appreciate you guys accommodating.
Oh, please. No problem. By the way, our final guest today, if you're a bicycle rider, bicycle lover, or someone in your family is, you'll be interested. We're going to be talking with Craig Morrow. He is from Bicycle Heaven. I will learn about it along with you. It is the world's largest bicycle museum and bike shop. And it's in Pittsburgh.
We were just talking about bicycles. I was just talking about bicycles out there in the waiting room. Because we were talking about kids nowadays. People say they're too privileged. I don't believe in that. I think they're more advanced and knowledgeable and worldly. But the kids are still nice. We're doing that youth program that Karen started. But I was saying I can remember when I got my first brand new bicycle, because I always had hand-me-downs. My father was one for putting the brakes on when he saw an old bicycle in the trash, used it for parts. My first real bicycle, new, I bought myself because I worked and bought it. But it was always fun. I had a bicycle hybrid that had pieces from every bicycle in the neighborhood.
Well, we'll be talking about bicycles. By the way, they're making a big comeback. It's a healthy thing nowadays.
Yes,
it is a healthy
riding
thing.
Riding bikes because there's not the not the pounding on your knees that you come from either walking or jogging or something
and
like
touring
that.
Touring bikes are getting popular.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk to Craig Morrow about that a little bit later. So we have a full slate of guests.
Where is
today.
The Bicycle Museum?
It's on the north side somewhere. It started out in Bellevue. Started out in a garage.
Okay.
And has grown into this huge operation down there.
I'm going to have to listen.
He'll be with us in about an hour or so. So we are still, well, I guess we're approaching mid-February now, but still fairly early in the year for chamber activities. I've been looking at your schedule, and you got a lot of stuff coming up. You're coming off a big weekend at Clearview Mall. You had the annual Health, Wealth,
really
and
nice.
Wellness Fair.
Yeah, it was really nice. I think because Saturday was so cold that a lot of people just wanted to walk around, and so they decided to do that in the mall. But we had wonderful foot traffic on Saturday. Friday was fine, but Saturday was nice. And we had some new vendors selling things, and we had that new company that does the assessments for the medical marijuana. And so it's very interesting talking to them. They're brand new chamber members.
I was up there on Saturday, and there was a nice crowd.
There was
sizable
a really
crowd.
Nice crowd, yeah. So I'm real happy with that one. It's a lot of work, but it's worth every bead of sweat.
Well, it's a popular, it's the biggest health, wealth, and wellness fair that I know of around here.
It's our 16th annual. Started it when I started at the chamber in 2002, and it will continue. So, yeah. The mall is so cooperative with us. They really are. And then my sponsors, KenMac, brings anything we need.
Yes.
They bring that out. They sponsor that. And then Armco. Credit Union is the other major sponsor. And Highmark. Highmark has been sponsoring it for a long time. So, and there were people doing health screenings, blood pressure, different types of things. Butler Health System was doing one for sleep apnea, test for apnea. Just a quick little thing showing why you should go to the sleep lab. So it was fun. Yeah.
Well, that was then, and this is now. Certainly one of the first major events on the chamber calendar, but lots more. In fact, as I look down, I see, I don't know, I think it's something new. You're having a series of economic development seminars or talks or something, Stan?
We are. St. Barnabas, as you know, bought Conley's and Suncrest. Conley's and Suncrest were always very active chamber members. So St. Barnabas approached me last year about doing a series of educational seminars. The first one is a dinner. The next two are going to be breakfasts. And let me backtrack a little bit. I don't want to take up too much of Karen's thunder, but every year the chamber gets a new board chair. They serve a one-year term. But Karen has been on the board for quite some time. She moved up from being a board member to being second vice chair, first vice chair. Now she'll be chair, and then she'll be past chair. But each chamber chair has some specific focus that they want to bring to the chamber to kind of shake it up a little bit and make it different, which for me is good because my job is never the same 2 years in a row. There are some consistencies, but there are some new things. Karen's scope of interest and next year's sponsorship is for workforce development and customer service. So what we're doing with St. Barnabas is Jim Roddy is helping me coordinate three workshops focusing on economic development. And the first one will be conducted by Jim Roddy. He's going to be the main presenter. And it's called Doing What's Best is Often Harder Than You Think, Insights into Economic Development in Butler County. For any of you that know Jim Roddy, he is very knowledgeable. He's been not only around the block, but he's built a few blocks himself. And so it's a dinner that we're doing on Wednesday, February 28th. There will be a fish option for those who are abstaining. It'll be at Suncrest Grill, and it's only $25 a person. So if you want to make a reservation for that, call the chamber.
Still time to do that? I mean, this is, gosh, that's 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Right, but there's still time.
There's still time, yeah. Suncrest Grill, of course, they have the capability of increasing. And then the other two seminars we're doing, one will be in the spring, and it's going to be the new director, and her name is escaping me. You probably know her for the Allegheny Conference. She'll be doing a breakfast. Her bailiwick was workforce development, so she's going to come and talk about the Allegheny Conference. And then the last one in the fall is going to be on the Advanced Robotics Institute. That is a branch of Carnegie Mellon. And now you know Steve Catt. Steve Catt works there. He's in charge of workforce development for the Advanced Robotics Institute. He left BC3. So it's going to be three very interesting seminars and very topical.
So this is kind of a focus, Karen Brackett, that you see as your upcoming year as board chair, workforce development?
Absolutely. Not only workforce development, but customer service. And we found in the past, especially with a lot of the businesses in the area, that they are truly asking for information and seminars on workforce development. If you notice, there are a lot of job opportunities in Butler County. And as we stated before, we want to make this a great community where people can work, live, and play. So thus coming up with the workforce development. We also have a new session with the Sandler training. Dan Hudock from Sandler Sales is a wonderful gentleman. He's been working with the Chamber now for a number of years, and we've partnered with him again to do some seminars for the businesses in the area. The first workshop will be entitled Formula for Success, and that will be held Wednesday, June 13th. But let me just stop, go back one, because we also have a cold call boot camp, which will be held on Wednesday, April 11th. And then from there, you know, we'll have communicating in an electronic environment, which I think is awesome. And that'll be held in July. And then also developing personal communications, which will be in October. Mm-hmm. And the sessions are $25 per person for the workshops. It's $50 for the boot camp. You can, you know, register by calling the chamber or going online. You can check out our website at www.butlercountychamber.com.
Sandler's well known for training, particularly in sales, right? Am I correct on that?
They were called Sandler Sales Training
right.
initially.
Ah, okay.
Now it's just called Sandler Training because they've diversified so much, and a lot of these seminars that he's doing for us are really customer service oriented, mm-hmm. but they're personal development.
Mm-hmm.
His theory, and rightly so, is if you know yourself and you know how you present yourself, then you can present yourself properly to customers depending upon their personalities.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of an interaction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for leadership Butler County, that's why we do the DISC profile,
mm-hmm.
because if you know your personality, then you can interface with your employees, with other people. So these are all customer service based. Cold calling is everybody's biggest fear. That's why this cold call boot camp will take the fear out of making a cold call. You know, if you do your research ahead of time,
absolutely.
And you maybe make a warm call, some of them can even be hot calls.
Mm-hmm.
So so it should be good. And Dan has just been exceptional working with the Chamber. And NextEar has sponsored this for the last 10 years. They've been a main sponsor. One of NextEar's focus, which I really appreciate and admire, is they're very big on education. They're one of the sponsors for our leadership program. They are the banner sponsor for the youth leadership program. Whenever there's anything of an educational nature, I know to contact NextEar first, and 99% of the time they jump on it. So we appreciate their involvement in the community and with the chamber activities.
Must you be a chamber member to attend either of these events?
No, you do not have to be a chamber member. Now, I like when non-chamber members attend events because I will give them chamber membership information.
Mm-hmm.
Odds are if they've attended a couple of our seminars, workshops, yes. even cocktail parties, mixers, they
yes.
end up joining the chamber. People don't really know what a chamber of commerce is unless they start getting involved. So we do welcome non-members. We don't offer, some organizations offer a different rate. You know, $25 for members, $50 for non-members. I find that to be a little offensive, quite honestly. So what we'll do is we'll ask, do you belong to another chamber? Have you ever belonged to a chamber? And then we give them the membership rate.
Mm-hmm.
I never charge extra for non-members because I like the new ideas and I like the new businesses. And there are so many in Butler County.
Absolutely.
Folks, if you're not familiar with the Butler County Chamber of Commerce, I'm sure even in short conversation that we've had so far, you're seeing that this is very active. I can remember the first time I ever heard about a Chamber of Commerce. I don't know, I was probably 8 or 9 years old watching the Tournament of Roses parade on New Year's Day out in San Francisco. Or in Pasadena.
Pasadena.
And they always say, you know, of course, it's always sunny, it's always beautiful. Just what the Chamber of Commerce wanted. So for many years as a kid, I thought that's what chambers did, you know. Well, make sure we have good weather for, you know, events and stuff like that.
I never knew what a chamber did till I walked in for my first interview in 1987 in Newcastle. And I thought, I better do some research. Well, maybe I better not, because it might not be something I want to do. But a lot of people don't know. And, you know, just to to summarize it very easily, my mission is to promote my membership. Mm-hmm. I'm an advocate of membership of businesses in Butler County. So whatever we think and my board thinks a business needs, mm-hmm. that's what we promote. And we try to get them to network. So instead of ordering something online through an 800 number, you might be able to walk across the street and your neighbor might be providing that service. So that's what we try to do. Yeah.
Well, I want to go back to Jim Roddy for a moment. I had the opportunity to interview Mr. Roddy, I want to say a couple of months ago. It was recently. It might have been around Christmas time because St. Barnabas is always involved in their free care fund and right. presents for patients mm-hmm. and so on. I'd seen him hundreds of times on TV because he does a lot of commercials for St. Barnabas. It was the first time I ever met him and had a chance to talk to him. Wonderful, gentlemanly guy. I don't know how else to describe him. You know.
Yeah, he is. He's very pleasant.
And extremely knowledgeable, obviously, in the business world.
Extremely knowledgeable. So I think it'll be an interesting evening. You know, Suncrest Grill has just been completely remodeled, mm-hmm. so they want to showcase their new restaurant and grill. And for $25, where can you get a meal that nice? And also a good program. So I encourage you, if you're listening out there, you don't have to be a chamber member to attend. Call the chamber and we will connect you, or you can call Suncrest Grill directly. But call the chamber and we'll hook you up for that dinner.
$25 per person includes dinner, dessert, and the presentation by Jim Roddy.
Yes. Correct.
Doing what's best is often harder than you think.
Correct.
Insights into economic development in Butler County. Jim Roddy, in addition to being active in many, many, many organizations, was the I think he was the first chief executive in Allegheny.
He was the first
County,
chief right? executive when they went, what it's called, home rule or something. Mm-hmm.
They had three county commissioners just like we do mm-hmm. up until they voted that out and went to the chief executive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Rich Fitzgerald is the guy who's doing it now, but Jim Roddy was the first one ever.
He was mm-hmm. the first, you're right.
Yeah. So anyway, that looks like a pretty good thing, and that's coming up. You know, February is a short month, but it still catches me by surprise.
Yes.
I see Wednesday, February 28th, and I think, it's down the road a ways. It's 2 weeks from tomorrow.
It's 2 weeks mm-hmm. from tomorrow, yes.
Well, tomorrow's Valentine's Day.
That's
so
right.
Everybody remember that out there. So you don't get in trouble.
Don't forget your sweetheart.
Don't forget your sweetheart.
So call the chamber if you want more information on that opportunity to hear Jim Roddy. Economic development in Butler County, insights into it. And you say this is the first of three of these?
Uh-huh. First yes. of three, and I'll be here to talk about the other ones when they mm-hmm. you know, get solidified. The other two are going to be breakfasts, and they'll be at Conley's. Yeah.
We're talking with Stan Kosciuszko on the first segment of It's Your Turn here today. Stan is the president of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce, and the new A chair of the board is Karen Brackett from Next Year Bank. She's visiting with us as well. Well, let us take a short break here, and then we'll be back to talk more with our guests here on the It's Your Turn program on this glorious Tuesday. I want to talk to you about one of our sponsors, really good people, and a great service. It's called Goin' Postal. Goin' Postal Butler. They ship things for you. You know, the process of shipping things yourself can be it's busy work, right? You got to buy the box. You got to make sure it's secure. You got to tape it. Ethel, where's that special tape that you never know where that is? Then you lug it in the car to the post office. Whew, make life easier. Take it to Goin' Postal here in Butler. It's right off Newcastle Road, right behind Villa Grande and King's Restaurant. You know where that is, right? Just at the top of Newcastle Hill there. Goin' Postal takes care of all of that for you. Take the item you want to be shipped. They'll ship it any way you want it. They'll make sure it's secure, box it up, and zing, it's off. Yeah. They also have Valentine's Day cards. They have, and Stan just mentioned that, don't forget your sweetheart tomorrow. And they got some other stuff, too. You can buy a lottery ticket there. They even have local honey. Downright good place to go. Goin' Postal, the address is 140 Shockey Lane in Butler. They're your friendly neighborhood shipping store. And again, it's just off Newcastle Road, right between Villa Grande and the King's Restaurant. Goin' Postal Butler. We will be right back. Enjoy a night of theater, dessert, and romance at Connecting to Tomorrow's performance of the play Love Letters. Directed by Jerry Johnston and starring Nedra and Dennis Casey, it's a story of two lovers and 50 years of nostalgia, missed opportunities, and deep closeness. Shows on Saturday, February 17th, 7 p.m., and Sunday, the 18th at 3 p.m. at St. Andrew's United Presbyterian Church in downtown Butler. Tickets at connecting2tomorrow.org or visit May's Music Shop, and tickets at the door as well. Welcome back, good friends. It's the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn, February 13th, Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday, the day before Ash Wednesday tomorrow. Our initial guests on the program today, Karen Brackett is here, Vice President at Next Tier Bank, new chair of the Butler Chamber Board of Directors, and the president of the Butler Chamber is here too, Stan Kosciuszko. Do you have, Karen, when you move in as chair, are you able to kind of help set programs if you have something special that you're particularly interested in? I know you've been involved in the Youth Leadership Development Program. Tell us about that.
The Youth Leadership Program was actually started by the Butler County Leadership Class of 2017. That was one of our projects, and it has been very successful. We're actually holding our third session next month at Butler County Community College, and we'll be focusing on branding and networking. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful program. We have 29 students participating.
Are these like high school age? Yeah.
They are high school age, absolutely. And we have right now five or six schools participating. But we are happy to say that we believe that all of the school districts in Butler County will participate in the next year's session.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's 29 juniors. They apply when they're sophomores, and then the course is when they're juniors. But it is amazing. The first year, we had five school districts that said, yes, we're on board with mm-hmm. you, which is kind of remarkable. Because it wasn't a proven program, it was a brand new program. Mm-hmm. And the superintendents and the guidance counselors said, no, this is something that we really need, because what we're doing is Karen and her group are touching an area of expertise that the schools do not do. For example, the one that they're doing in March is on branding, personal branding and social media, extremely important this day and age. And so what they're going to tell them is what you put on Facebook today will follow you for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And then they're also doing, which I found extremely interesting, they're doing an etiquette lunch. It's a formal lunch, white tablecloth lunch, complicated, and the students will be sitting there at that table with somebody to show them the proper etiquette for eating that lunch. So a lot of times you go out on an interview, and your interviewer may say, meet me at such and such a restaurant for lunch. Mm-hmm. You better know how to cut that chicken or that steak or that type of thing. So it really is a wonderful program. Now, we got notification that every district, I'm almost 100% every district in Butler County is now supportive of the program. They can only take 30 students. That's it. Otherwise, it would be pretty unmanageable. So all the districts will have the opportunity to send students, and they'll be sending out the application forms very soon. And those, like I said, go to sophomores. They apply when they're a sophomore, and then they take it when they're a junior. And it's 4 days out of the classroom.
We always say our youth are future leaders of our community, but how do they learn about that?
So absolutely.
This is a great program here.
It is a wonderful program.
Yeah, Dave, it's just... It is really heartwarming, especially for somebody my age who's, you know, I'm 66. And people say, well, who's going to take over? Who's going to take over? If you would go to one of these sessions and see these 30 students from every district, from Butler School District, South Butler, Seneca Valley, Carn City, Slippery Rock, mm-hmm. these students are the future leaders. If you would see them, it's unbelievable. They're smart. They're knowledgeable, they're inquisitive, they come properly dressed and groomed, and mm-hmm. it really is exceptional. And they're interested in the program.
Certainly so. Something I wish would have been around when I was in high school.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great program. Yeah. Also, you have, and this has been popular in past years, you have Meet and Move luncheon series all scheduled for the new year.
Correct. We call those the progressive lunches, which is they have their salad at one table, Then they moved to another table for main course, another table for dessert. So instead of going to one of those, and for those of you who do them out there, boring lunches where you sit for an hour or an hour and a half with the same people that you already know, we're forcing you to network with three groups of eight people. Our first one of the year has always been sponsored by Concordia Lutheran Ministries. It's at Haven One, and that's on Tuesday, March 6th. So we're real pleased with that one. That's sponsored by C.W. Howard and Consolidated. We're doing that one in conjunction with the Allie Kiske Strong Chamber. They're in Armstrong County. And so my chamber members get a chance to interface with a whole group of other chamber members. And then we have three more coming up. And if you want to look at the flyer, it's on my website. So.
Your whole newsletter's on your website nowadays, isn't it?
The entire newsletter's on the website. We actually did a change. We refreshed the newsletter. The February 2018 was the first new edition. We changed our masthead. We're also redoing our website. So everything is going to be standard. Our website will look like our newsletter, mm-hmm. will look like our membership directory. Everything is going to be pretty standard. And I can tell you my secretary, Jennifer, was not happy because the newsletter has been the way the newsletter has been. The Leading Edge has been that way for the last 20 years.
Yes.
And I can't believe you're changing the colors.
Great song from Fiddler on the Roof, you know, that Broadway show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The young people are questioning the old ways. And, you know, why do we still do it this way, Tevye? Tradition.
Well, our board meetings were at 7:30 a.m. since 1896. This year, the board said they can be at 8 o'clock.
And what a half hour. It really makes a difference.
Can you become a member of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce at any time during the year?
Sure. You can join any time. It's base dues are $350. It covers up to 10 full-time employees. Two part-time are considered one full-time. You pay the membership dues, and then I bill in December, and I'll prorate you for what you've paid. Mm-hmm. So your bill this year may be $350, but next year it might be $120, $200, whatever. So we do accept memberships anytime during the year. Now, you have to remember we're a private nonprofit organization, so we have the right to not accept membership from a business. So the officers and the board approve the application, look at the application, and either approve or don't approve that member. You know, not that we're biased or prejudiced or anything like that, but there are certain businesses that perhaps we don't want to have to recommend, you know. And since there is no local Better Business Bureau, we serve as the Better Business Bureau. So what I tell people is, and I told people this at the mall, if you're looking for a contractor, you're looking for an electrician, you're looking for a financial institution, an investor, look at the chamber website. They have all been vetted. Mm-hmm. I can assure you that they are legitimate, productive, community-minded businesses. Mm-hmm. If you have a complaint against one of them, we will interface. You don't have to call the Attorney General's office or complain to Harrisburg. Call the chamber, and we will interface with that business. So that's why we're very, very strict about who we want on our membership roster.
It's kind of like the imprimatur. If you say the board of directors says okay, you know, you can join us. And obviously, an extremely active chamber. My goodness, you got stuff going on all over the place.
Yeah, you gotta be active. You know, this area, Butler County, is growing, and it's not going to stop growing. So we have to be, you know, on the cusp of all that stuff. So.
Anything else that we missed that we should mention before next time around, or are we pretty much up to date here?
The only thing, we're accepting nominations for Employee of the Year.
Yes. Oh, yes,
yeah,
yes.
We do at our Employee Appreciation Luncheon, which is in April. It's at the Atrium, sponsored by the Atrium and Medora's Catering, Butler Eagle, and Butler Health. We give out the Employee of the Year award. So you don't have to be a chamber member business to nominate your employee. You can get the nomination form on our website.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have those fairly soon. We like to have them by mid-March so that we can get the plaque printed up and everything. But it's a nice honor for an employee.
And when is that award presented?
The award's presented at the April 18th luncheon. It's on April 18th. Starts at 11:30, and it's at the Atrium. Mm-hmm. So that's our Employee Appreciation Luncheon.
Well, thanks for bringing us up to date. Thanks for stopping in. It's always good to chat with you.
Thank you so much for having us on today. We enjoyed it.
Karen Brackett is the new chair of the board of directors of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce, and the president of the chamber, Stan Kosciuszko, with us here today as well.
Thanks for having us, and happy Valentine's Day to everybody.
That's right.
And happy Ash Wednesday, I guess. Yeah. Happy Mardi Gras.
Now you can go have pancakes or donuts or whatever you gorge yourself with on Fat Tuesday.
Champagne and beignets.
That sounds good.
That sounds good to me.
Thanks, folks. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
More to come on It's Your Turn today. We'll be chatting on the next segment of the program with Marianne Eisenreich. She's the executive director of the United Way of Butler County. And don't forget, we're going to be talking about bicycles on the final segment of the program today. Craig Morrow will be with us from Bicycle Heaven down in Pittsburgh, the largest bicycle museum in the world, they say. I'm interested to find out about that. So more to come, please. On tomorrow's program, Open Talk for a while, we're going to be talking with Fred Balocci about how you can still maintain a healthy diet by eating out. A lot of people think you can't do that. He says no. He loves to eat out. He eats out a lot, and you can stay healthy. So we'll be talking with him about that on tomorrow's program. Okay, quick break, and then we'll be back with more of It's Your Turn on this Tuesday right after these messages.
Sunnyview Nursing and Rehabilitation Center has a rich history in Butler. Now they are making continuous improvements and technological advancements to better serve the community. Sunnyview specializes in short-term rehabilitation and skilled nursing. Schedule a tour to see their beautiful facility. Call 332-6872 or visit sunnyviewcenter.com. Sunnyview Nursing and Rehabilitation Center, close to your home and close to your heart.
Butler Motor Tours is ready to help you get away to some exciting destinations this year. Why not head to the Mackinac Island Lilac Festival this year in June, the 15th to 18th? Now, this usually sells out every year, so get registered today. They're taking two buses, and you need to sign up early. June 17th through 22nd, it's Locomotives and Lighthouses, a wonderful New England trip. And October 6th through 11th, they'll bus you to Bermuda. It's one of their popular cruises that also fills up early. And a couple of special treats this year out to the Lancaster Millennium Theater for the Big Jesus Show that will be March 16th through 18th, or a visit to the Bible Museum in the D.C. area August 1st through the 3rd for the Faith and Nation Tour. It's all from Butler Motor Tours. Check out their website, butlerbus.com, or give them a call, 724-282-1000, Butler Motor Tours, 210 South Monroe Street in Butler.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? When a tornado is tearing through town? Or a hurricane strikes? Or is the best time, perhaps, today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. And it's not always as simple as using your cell phone. That's why now is the time to take action. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
If you're thinking about buying a car, truck, or SUV, or even if you just bought one, make sure you check out the great rates at Armco Credit Union. Through February 28th, you can get a 36-month loan on new and used vehicles for as low as 1.24 APR. We'll even refinance your loan from another financial institution. It's never been easier to join, so call today or visit armcocu.com for membership and rate information. Armco Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and is federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back to the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. We're still trying to make arrangements to hook up with our next scheduled guest, so we'll continue to do that. We're hoping to be able to talk with Marianne Eisenreich, who's the executive director of the United Way of Butler County. Meantime, let me tell you about our big Men Who Cook event that's coming up this weekend, this Saturday. This will be the second year for WISR's Men Who Cook event, this Saturday evening at the General Butler Vagabonds Center here in Butler. And last year, our first Men Who Cook was just a great, it was a great evening. It was a hoot. Here's the deal. We have lots of guys, 20-some, I think, all together, who are going to be serving up some of their favorite dishes. And you get to go around from booth to booth and sample what you desire and chat a bit if you wish to. We're also raising money for the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank. There'll be a basket auction and other fundraising proceeds to benefit St. Vincent de Paul. And if you're coming on Saturday night, you're encouraged to bring a non-perishable food item for the food bank. Tickets are $20 in advance, $25 at the door. You can get advance tickets here at the radio station. And it starts at 6 o'clock this Saturday evening at the General Butler Vagabond Center. You can sample foods from 6 until 8 p.m., then dance to the music of DJ Pat Gallagher from 8 until 10. So it's a full evening of fun and food. And there'll be lots of guys there, Men Who Cook, who are showcasing their culinary creations. And the price of admission gets you samples from any and all attendees. And you can go around a couple of times if you so desire. That's part of the fun. So what are some of the things that we're going to have? Well, let's see. Mike Penza, who's a retired superintendent in the Montauk School District, is going to be serving up a variety of mini cheesecakes with different toppings. Ooh. Sounds good. Brian Ellis, local state lawmaker, will be serving up heart-healthy turkey chili and mini cornbread. Turkey chili and mini cornbread. Ooh, that sounds good. Jack Hutchinson, you know Jack from the Butler Post Office. He's going to be serving up Irish sliders. Sounds good. Steve Hinterberger, sloppy Giuseppe's. What's that? Sloppy Joe's. Pat Parker will be there serving up chicken burrito bowl, right? Yeah. So feel free to join us. We hope to see you. We had a great time last year. Get your tickets, and we'll see you on Saturday night. Okay, let's go to the telephone here. We want to talk with our next guest on the It's Your Turn program. Dave Malarkey with you if you're just joining us, and we're chatting with Marianne Eisenreich, who's the executive director of the United Way of Butler County. Marianne, how you doing? Nice to have you with us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for including us.
Well, sure. There's a lot of stuff that's happened with the United Way of Butler County since I've had a chance to interview folks, including a relatively recent move to a new location, right?
Well, we've been here for about a year on West Jefferson Street.
It can't be a year already. Surely not.
It has. It has. It's been about a year, so maybe a little bit longer.
Well, that shows you that I've been a little lax in getting in touch with you then to get an update. I thought it was more recent than that. But you're in the building with C.W. Howard, right, down there in the west end of the city?
Yes, we are.
Nice location.
Have
there been any major changes in the mission of the United Way over the past year or so, Marianne?
No, that took place a few years ago when we went to an impact focus, and our impact focus is poverty, which is, of course, a broad focus and can touch a lot of programs and individuals in the community.
Mm-hmm.
But over the past year, there hasn't been any changes except I've been here since September.
Well, that's a pretty big change. Does the United Way still operate the way it did in the past with an annual fundraising campaign?
Yes, we completed two large campaigns, one at Westinghouse and one at MSA. Many, many other businesses, Next Year Bank, Morris Bank, have supported us, AK Steel, XTO, and we are going to launch a campaign for the first time in a while at the Butler Health System in about a week.
Mm-hmm. So this is a dedicated effort to get individuals who work at some of our largest businesses and companies to consider a regular donation to the United Way, eh?
Yes, that's how we do payroll donations, when people do pledges through their companies in the larger corporations. We just finished an article that we're going to send over to Jack Cohen, who, by the way, recently joined our board of directors. He'll run an article for us aimed at small businesses, because we would like to bring more small businesses onto our team in a united front to fund community programs.
I know one of the, and this is not new, but certainly within the past few years at least, the Butler Emergency Relief Initiative, or commonly referred to as BERRY. Is that still under the auspices of the United Way of Butler County, Marianne?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, Dawn Grakowski, our Community and Development Director, manages that program.
Mm-hmm. And what is the Butler Emergency Relief Initiative all about?
One of the things I could spotlight is during the flood in July, it's really about churches and individuals coming together to help in the case of an emergency. When the flood occurred in July, BERRY really stepped up and helped people replace furnaces, replace hot water tanks, replace washers and dryers, help people get the things they needed after 911 had completed their frontline emergency relief.
Mm-hmm. Haven't they also helped out, maybe I'm wrong on this, I'm not sure, haven't they helped out in the wintertime too for some folks who are needy?
Yes, mainly what they do in the winter, or what BERRY does here in the winter, is identify people who have problems with their heating equipment, and they can actually help to get a new piece of equipment.
Do you still have member agencies of the United Way, Marianne, or has that changed?
Sure. You mean partner agencies. We
yes.
call them our partner agencies. Sure, we just had a meeting here this week to discuss our request for proposal that will be ready next week for people to apply for our funding.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we had about 14 partners here.
So explain that process to us, because a lot of folks are not familiar with just how that works. Obviously, that's going to be coming up in the not-too-distant future. Agencies, nonprofits can make a presentation. Is that what they do to possibly be a beneficiary?
Well, it's interesting you would ask that. We, this year, when I got here in September, I met with a lot of the executive directors of our partner agencies, and they all wanted a more streamlined process, and that's what we're going to this year, a shorter RFP, a shorter request for proposal, a less attachments, and we're just now deciding if we're going to do presentations or just grant applications.
Mm-hmm. And then what happens? How is it decided how your available funds will be divvied up?
We have a review panel made up of members of the community, maybe a few of our board members. There's people on it from, the chamber, that will sit down and review these grants. This year we assign points to each section so that all things can be as equal as we can possibly get them. And the panel will review the grants and assign numbers and rank them.
How can the average person help out with the United? Obviously, they can contribute. That's one big way, of course, right?
Yes, that is.
Mm-hmm. What about volunteers? Do you ever have need for volunteers, Marianne?
We always have a need for volunteers. We have a volunteer clearinghouse here, if you will. Our volunteer coordinator is John Furman. I can give you a phone number when we're finished. And we have a week of caring where we send a large amount of volunteers out into the community to do different things. But on an, like landscaping, painting, food banking, but on an ongoing basis, we always need volunteers. We always have opportunities to send people to a volunteer experience. That's one of the big things that United Way does. And we're happy to hear from anyone and everyone in that capacity.
The Week of Caring, correct me if I'm wrong, that's usually in the late summer, early autumn, correct?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. So
that's correct.
That timetable remains the same. That'll be coming up later this year.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. I believe we supplied 1,300 volunteer hours during that week to various partners in the community.
Mm. That's a great program. Great program.
The other thing that people can do is to help us spread the word on Pennsylvania 211. I'm sure you know what that is.
Well, we know what 911 is.
Okay.
And then there's a a 311. I think there's a 511. What's the 211?
Well, 511 is Pennsylvania Turnpike. 411 used to be directory assistance. 911, we all know, is emergency. And 211 is similar to 911, but for social services. Matter of fact, Sunday, 2/11, was Pennsylvania 211 day. And we had sent out an email blast asking people if they would acquaint just two more people with 211. What it is a service where if you just dial that simple number, 211, you can ask anything about utility assistance, rent rebates, you might need food, you might need elder care, you might need child care, and they can connect you to where those services are available.
So it's kind of a one point of contact type thing for people who might not know exactly where they should go for a particular need?
That's very well said. It is a single point of contact for emergency social services.
Is that local or is that statewide, the 211 system? How's that work?
211 is actually nationwide.
Oh, nationwide. Huh.
It started in Atlanta almost two decades ago at a United Way. That's why it's so intimately tied to United Way. A lot of 211 services are powered by United Way. For example, we make a donation or pay an amount towards 211 for Butler County, as does your county. But it is nationwide. There were only seven states who didn't have it. We unfortunately were one of them last year because we had some counties missing in the system. We now have all but three covered, and the state of Pennsylvania has put some money into 211 this year.
So we
are on board, finally.
When a person calls 211, do they talk to someone locally or in Harrisburg or where?
They talk to a resource navigator, and from this area, for the most part, they talk to someone in Pittsburgh.
I see.
But it really doesn't matter where they are, because during the hurricane season this year, Pittsburgh picked up calls for Broward County in Florida.
Hmm.
Because the database is very robust, so they were able to just go into a system, see where the services were, because Broward County was down due to the hurricane. So one system can pick up another system. An example I've always used for that is if you're from Indiana and you're driving across Interstate 80 and you run into a problem, not a 911 problem, you're not in a car crash or your car isn't on fire, but you need a place to stay or your vehicle broke down, you can call 211. Even if you're from Indiana, and they will find out where you are and where services are available for your particular need.
Oh, did you know about this, folks? 211? Yeah. Now fully operational now here in Pennsylvania, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And that's a toll-free call, I assume, right? 211?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. We're talking with Marianne Eisenreich. Marianne is the executive director of the United Way of Butler County. I don't know whether you know a whole lot about the history of the United Way, Marianne. Maybe you know some. Do you have any idea when it got started here in the United States?
That's a question I can't answer for sure.
Well, as I said,
I apologize for that.
No, there's no apology necessary. As I said, I didn't expect you to know all the facts and figures. It just occurred to me that as long as I can remember, there's been a United Way, and I didn't know how far back it went.
Well, I know I've been working with the United Way for at least 35 years. Because my background was I ran a nonprofit in Pittsburgh before I came here. I had a little other job in between. I worked for the government. But it's been around for at least 40 years in this area.
Let me ask you about another thing, given that this is tax season. I know that in the past, the United Way has been involved in the VITA program. Are you still connected with that in some way?
The way we're connected with it this year is we provide some funding for it.
I see.
We are not taking the appointments this year, although 211 is taking the calls and then directing them for the appointments.
Mm-hmm.
211 is taking the calls also for the ARP tax program and scheduling appointments for that.
VITA is an acronym. It stands for Volunteer Income Tax Assistance. At least I think I have that right.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. And it's a very robust program here in Butler County.
Very robust indeed. And you can get more information on that. In fact, we'll be doing a segment on the VITA program coming up here in the not-too-distant future. We're just into the tax season. You know, you can start filing your taxes if you got all your papers in order at the tail end of January. So we're a couple of weeks into February. We'll be talking about that a little bit later on. Are there any other programs or initiatives of the United Way of Butler County that I have somehow skipped my attention here, Marianne?
Well, what I'd like to tell your listeners about is the employment initiative we're just launching in partnership with Butler County Community College and Priority to Work. That program will begin with an orientation on February 28th at the college, and we are taking calls and doing intakes for that program. So anybody that's in need of a job, this is not limited. We'd like to hear from veterans. We'd like to hear from dislocated workers. Anyone that is in need of a job, we'd like to help you. The classes will be an 8-week program. If you don't have time for that, we're willing to help you one-on-one. This is funded by a grant from PNC Charitable Trust, and we're looking to provide this service to anyone in need in the community.
Can people call the United Way for more information, or where should they contact somebody?
We would welcome their phone calls.
Mm-hmm. And how do they get in touch with you? Do you know the phone number?
Sure, 724-285-4883. And they can, my extension is 228, or they can just press 0 and anyone here can help.
Mm-hmm. And you say this orientation is coming up in a couple of weeks, right?
Yes, February 28th, Wednesday, February 28th.
And just a little bit more detail on how this works for people who are looking for a job. They will attend a series of classes at the community college. Is that the deal?
Yes, they can call here and we will go through some questions with them and see what their needs are. And then if they would like to attend the series of classes, it will be geared around how to find a job, how to network, how to interview, doing resume writing. And we will, the last 2 weeks, have panels of employers in the classroom to actually meet with the candidates.
Hmm. United Way of Butler County. Another way that you can help support the United Way is to become an advocate, right? Spread the word on the good that's being done by the United Way.
That would be wonderful. Anything anybody would like to do, anybody can call, again, 724-285-4883, and we're happy to talk to you about anything. Any way you can help and any way we can help you, anybody we can connect you to for help. And the other revitalized program that we have here going on is the Women's Leadership Council. There was a Women's Leadership Council with the United Way. It kind of became a little quiet, and it's going to be much more robust in the future. We have a meet and greet coming up for that in March, and we're really excited about revitalizing that group.
Well, what's this all about? You're obviously aiming in particular at women, I guess, huh?
Well, there's a Women's Leadership Council attached to most United Ways. It's just a particular group of corporate women or retired women or just women in general who really believe in the mission of the United Way and are willing to help in various ways, are willing to donate, and they will identify a mission for the year. Say maybe this year we'll focus on domestic violence or we'll focus on child care. That's up to the group. We just revitalized it about 2 months ago, so everything isn't decided yet, but it is moving.
And well, these women meet on a regular basis, or how does that work, Marianne?
They're meeting every other month.
Okay. And that'll be starting later this year, I assume?
They've already started to meet.
Oh,
and
okay.
We'll kick off a meet and greet in March for people who are interested.
I can remember the first time that I really became aware of the good that the United Way does on a regular basis, and As far as I know, they don't have a partnership with the National Football League anymore, but do you remember the public service campaigns that featured the late Art Rooney, the owner and president of the Steelers, and the good of the United Way? They were marvelous public service announcements that aired every year.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there's still a lot of public service announcements that air for the United Way, especially the one in the Southwest, because they're so large. So they do air often there.
I can still see those TV commercials. That's quite a few years ago now, but I had one with a little girl sitting on Art Rooney's knee. It was very touching, very good, yeah. So the largest United Way in this area is the United Way of Southwest Pennsylvania?
Yes, it is.
I'm guessing that includes the Pittsburgh area, right?
Yes. It includes Pittsburgh, Westmoreland, Fayette, and Armstrong.
Mm-hmm. But the United Way of Butler County is a separate organization.
Yes, we are.
Mm-hmm. And will you be kicking off your newest fundraising campaign in the not-too-distant future for the general public?
Well, for the general public, it's ongoing.
Oh, I see.
Our targeted campaigns, that's the pledge forms at various corporations, we will wrap that up in April for this year. Our year runs from July to June, so mm-hmm. that will wrap up this April. We'll ramp up for a new campaign starting in September.
Will you be organizing and getting things in shape for the Week of Caring in the not-too-distant future? It seems to me that takes quite a bit of organization.
It does. It does. And it's ongoing. I mean, people will call us now and say, can you send 50 people to help us with our groundwork during your Week of Caring? And we'll log that in and make sure we have enough volunteers. We do a lot of outside work during that Week of Caring.
Mm-hmm.
And we're always willing to take calls about that. We're willing to take calls about campaigns. Anything that we do is always open. It doesn't open and close, per se.
Well, if you'd like to help out in any way possible, the United Way of Butler County, I'm sure you could give you folks a buzz, and you could point them in the right direction in terms of what they'd like to do, huh?
Absolutely, and we'd love to hear from you, and we also will encourage you to use 211 for any of your needs as well.
Again, a contact number, a phone number for the United Way of Butler County, Marianne?
724-285-4883.
Mm-hmm. And the United Way of Butler County offices are now located at 407 West Jefferson Street here in Butler. It's the building where C.W. Howard Insurance is located as well. Well, gosh, Marianne, nice to talk to you today. I appreciate you giving us an update on the United Way, and in particular here as we approach the middle of February now, this upcoming orientation for people looking for a job, because people are going to have to take care of that and get in touch with you pretty quickly, right?
Yes, but they can call us, you know, anytime in the next couple weeks.
Marianne Eisenreich is the executive director of the United Way of Butler County. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us today, Marianne. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Oh, sure. That's what we do here. We'll talk again sometime, okay?
Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Marianne Eisenreich. First time I've interviewed her. Executive director of the United Way of Butler County. Well, stick around because we have more to come. In fact, I'm anxious to talk to our next guest. We're going to be talking about bicycles. His name is Craig Morrow. He is with Bicycle Heaven. Where's that? It's in Pittsburgh. And they say it's the world's largest bicycle museum. Well, that should be interesting. Stick around. We'll be talking with Craig in just a couple of minutes here on the It's Your Turn program on WISR. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday. Still a good bit of sunshine. Temperatures are inching upward. We've reached the mid-30s. We hope to get to 40 degrees today, 50 tomorrow, and we may be close to 60 on Thursday, believe it or not. We will probably see rain showers tomorrow and Thursday here and there. but nonetheless, very, very mild temperatures. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we'll have some open talk time. We're also going to be chatting tomorrow with Fred Bellacci, who will tell us about eating healthy and yet being able to eat out. A lot of folks don't think that's possible. Fred says, I love to eat out. I love going to great restaurants. And yes, you can still eat healthy. And he'll tell us why and tell us how. One of our guests on tomorrow's program. Okay, quick break, and then back to talk about bicycles here on It's Your Turn on WISR. We'll be back right after this.
I'm Ken Molesky, and I wish to inform you of Central Electric Cooperative's Good Neighbor Scholarship Program. Each scholarship winner will receive a $2,000 grant to further their education. Scholarships are available to adults returning to the classroom, college and trade school students, and of course to high school seniors. Winners are based on voluntary non-paid service to community, school, and church. To be eligible, you must be a Central Electric Cooperative member, be accepted in a post-secondary educational institution, complete the application, compose a 500-word essay, and provide a letter of recommendation. Visit www.central.coop for your Good Neighbor Scholarship application. Submissions are due March 15th, with scholarships awarded in May. This is Ken Molesky with Central Electric Cooperative. Our tradition is to service. Our responsibility is to safety. This institution is an equal opportunity provider and employer.
Welcome back, good friends. As promised, we're going to be talking about bicycles on the next segment of the program, and specifically about bicycle heaven. And we welcome as our next guest, Craig Morrow, who is the owner of Bicycle Heaven. Craig, nice to meet you. Nice to have you with us on the program today.
Nice to meet you the same.
You're billed as the world's largest bicycle museum and shop. And for goodness sakes, you're in Pittsburgh, right?
Yes, we are. We opened only 5 years ago, and we're doing great.
Now, what part of Pittsburgh, in what part of Pittsburgh are you located, Craig?
We're on the north side, on the North Shore, and we're at the Casey Industrial Park, which is right off the bike trail that runs from here all the way to D.C.
Mm-hmm. And a bicycle museum, I didn't know we had one here in western Pennsylvania. Tell us a little bit about the museum, Craig.
Well, the museum holds over 4,000 bicycles, and we have some of the rarest bikes there are in the world. We have the Bowden Spacelander bicycles, which are very rare. There's only one other museum that has one, and we actually got 17 out of the 30. But anyways, it houses BMX bicycles, mountain bicycles, and bikes from the 1860s all the way to the new bikes.
Hmm. Are you open to the public on a regular basis?
Yes, we are. We're open every day of the year except for Christmas, and we open from 10 till 7 p.m. every day.
Thousands and thousands of bicycles. I can't imagine what it must look like. You probably have them hanging from the ceiling and hanging from the walls and everything, huh?
Yeah, we do. The bike museum, just from the bikes hanging from the ceilings, when you said that, is actually a bike shop in itself. There's that many bicycles.
Wow.
Yeah.
This was started, about 20 years ago, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I'd say about 25 years ago or so. I started out of my home in Bellevue, PA, just out of a little garage, actually.
So how the interest in bicycles, does this go all the way back to when you were a kid, Craig?
Yeah, I had a bicycle like most kids did, you know, the Stingray banana seat bike, and you know, that was your freedom when you went out when you were a kid. So you fixed your own bike and whatever. So a bicycle always meant something to me, just like I think it did to most people. And then I got into the cars. I actually got into body work and whatever. And I got sick from the paint fumes. And one day it just came to me that I had to do something. So I just I found a bike in the junk, actually, and repaired it, sold it to the kid down the road, and that's how I got started.
Hmm. Wow. And who knew how quickly and how large you've grown? Yeah. Well, I agree with you, and I think many of our listeners will. Probably we're evoking some memories for them of riding a bike when you were a kid, your first bike, yeah, it did mean freedom before you were old enough to drive a car, right?
That's true. Everybody that comes in, we get people from all around the world, and no matter what state or what country you come from, they always relate about their bicycle they had. And you know how it was. Your parents, your dad went to work, mom stayed home back in the day, and you went on your bicycle to play baseball or maybe went to the swimming pool and whatever, and you came home from dinner, and after dinner you went back out on your bike again. So a lot of people relate to that. And a lot of the people come in, the first thing they do is they look for the bicycle they had when they were a kid so they could show their kids, hey, this is the bike I got. I broke my tooth on or rode from here to there and whatever. You know, it was fun.
I'm trying, ever since you mentioned this, I've been trying to think of my first bicycle and what brand it was. I know it was orange.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of an off-brand. I had not heard of it, but somebody told me it was a really good bike. Now, this was just a regular bike. It wasn't, gear shifts and all that sort of thing. Back in the day, we used to call those English bikes.
Oh, yeah, English racers.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That term doesn't apply anymore. Although...
No, there's so many companies out there now, and, when we were younger, there was only so many bike companies, and you probably had a Sears bike or a Huffy or a Murray, something like that. That's what most kids have, and if you were lucky, then you had a Schwinn Stingray or a Schwinn Varsity or a Racer or something like that.
Schwinn was the big name. I know mine wasn't a Schwinn. By the way, does Schwinn still exist? Are they still making bicycles?
The company is still around. It's been sold many times, and they're more of a lower grade department store bicycle now, and it's, they're not made in the USA.
Mm-hmm.
But the Schwinn dynasty was unbelievable. I mean, how they started out back in the day, somewhere around 1909 or somewhere around there, and built a dynasty, and it sort of went down the tubes in the late 80s, I guess.
We're talking, for listeners who may have joined us a little bit late on this segment of It's Your Turn, we're chatting with Craig Morrow. He's the owner of Bicycle Heaven, the world's largest bicycle museum and bike shop. They're on the north side of Pittsburgh, on the North Shore. So you're a bike shop, too. Do you like, do repairs or sell parts or all of the above, Craig?
Yes, we do. We repair bicycles of all kinds, new or old, and we do restore antique bikes. But most of our repairs are people that are coming off the bike trail or just everyday people, need their bikes tuned up and things like that.
You know, that was part of coming of age, too, at least for guys. I don't know whether girls did, but we tinkered with our bikes, We'd play with the brakes, get a couple of wrenches out of Dad's toolbox and start adjusting things, here and there.
Yeah, that's something that's not the same nowadays. A lot of the bikes people buy are, a lot of people refer them to as throwaway bikes, the cheaper brands. You use it for a summer and whatever, and when it breaks, they throw them out. Back in the day, yeah, you repaired your own bike. You had your brother's hand-me-down bicycle or whatever, and maybe Dad would get bikes out of the junk and put a bike together. But a little different nowadays. But the collecting of bicycles and whatever is starting to be a bigger interesting thing for younger people now.
And for older people, I just bought a new bike recently because I want to use it for my exercise regimen. If you're riding a bike, your knees aren't taking that pounding that they do if you're jogging along the sidewalk, but it's still a great cardio workout riding a bike.
Yes, it's a big thing right now. It's biking in Pittsburgh is tripled probably just in the last 5 years, and then of course with the bike trails and whatever, it makes it handy for people to get their exercise on the bike trail.
They've also been instituting some bicycle lanes, haven't they, on some of the busier streets in Pittsburgh?
They do. It's they're new, and it's a good thing for people who want to even take their bike to work, and a lot of people have been doing that. Mm-hmm. And a little bit of controversy about it. Some people like the bike lanes, and some people don't, but for biking, it's definitely a big help.
First one that I ever saw was in North Park in Pittsburgh. I had a bike lane dedicated just to bikers so that vehicles would, you know, they would not be conflicting with vehicles on the roadway. We have...
Yeah, that's true. That's North Park. That's where you would go to get exercise right around the park. But mm-hmm. with the bike trails now down along the North Shore, that's opened it up to where people can just ride. I mean, you could ride all the way to D.C. It's a five-day trip, a three-day trip maybe for somebody who's more athletic, and it's a big new whole thing, hotels, places to sleep, and it's a good thing. And a lot of people are getting involved in it.
We have a new, relatively new, hiking, walking, and bike trail here in Butler. It actually goes from Butler to Freeport, following an old Pennsylvania Railroad right-of-way. Have you heard about that one, Craig? Are you familiar with it?
Yeah, I do. I get a lot of people from Butler who come down, and I guess there's a way that they can even connect to the bike trail that's down here. I'm not sure where they connect to, but many people talk about it, and I think that's sort of the bike trails is a big thing all around the country. I think they're opening them up all the time now.
I've also heard that there are some quite scenic ones up around Oil City and Oil Country, up around Emblemton along the Allegheny River. And, of course, here in Butler County at Moraine State Park, there's a lengthy paved bike trail that you can wind all through Moraine State Park for miles and miles.
Yes, I've rode on that. That's a nice trail. Easy riding, not very many hills. And, you know, when you ride a bicycle, too, you see everything, and you can stop and talk to people, and it's a great adventure. I think that's why it's really a big thing right now. It's people are just starting to get back on their bikes again.
I can remember, you're jogging my memory here. The more we talk, Craig. When I was a kid, our family household sat at the end of a long street and at the top of a hill. So whenever my brother or I were, you know, going out on our adventures, man, it was a piece of cake. You know, you come sailing out of the driveway, and for half a mile you're going downhill, lightning fast. Now the flip side is when you were coming home after the ball game or swimming or whatever you were doing. Man, oh, man, that was quite a bump up that hill.
I hear you there.
Yeah, but good cardio workouts. Bicycles have come a long way. If I would see a picture of the one that I had when I was a kid, I'd probably laugh compared to the one that I recently bought. It's, I don't know, it's got 16 gears and 5,000 speeds and a whole bunch of other stuff, too. Not quite the same as in the olden days. First of all, kind of fat tires on my bike when I was a kid. My new one, they're kind of skinny. What's the deal on that, Craig?
Yeah, they were called balloon tire bikes. If a kid grabbed one of those bikes today, they'd be amazed at how heavy they were. You could probably make 10 bikes out of an old 1950s bicycle, like a Schwinn Phantom or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, you're right, now they're thinner, they're lighter. You know, the average bike now is 18 to 30 speeds, and you can buy some cheap ones that are half decent bikes. But I guess part of the biggest change is just because of technology of being lighter and easier to ride the bike.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, some of the people come by. I have some bikes that are from the, you know, the 1890s, even drive shaft bicycles, no chains. They actually had stuff like that back then. But, you know, when people really look at them, you know, one of the first things they say is, really, bicycles haven't changed. You know, it's a frame, two wheels, handlebars, and a seat, and it's a bike. And some of the newer bikes today, you know, single-speed bikes, track bikes, stuff like that, are still in existence. So other than lightness and more gears, I don't think there's really been a real big change.
Lightness, are they using different type of metals in the construction of bicycles as opposed to, you know, back in the 50s and 60s?
Yeah, you have carbon fiber now, and, you know, a lot of the carbon fiber frames and forks, aluminum frames and chromoly frames, you know, things like that. Titanium frames. that makes it, they're a lot stronger in some ways, and they're, of course, a lot lighter. Mm-hmm. Although some riders are going back to the heavy steel frames. They like to feel that better.
Of course, when you get into some of those new metals, you're talking pretty high price line, right, for those bicycles.
That's true. I mean, you could spend $7,000 on a bike easily, you know, but I would say more average of $700-$900, and then you got a decent bike.
Wow. We have to take a break. We have more time to chat with Craig. I want to talk to him about mountain bikes and trail bikes, and I want to talk first, as soon as we come back, about some of the vintage bicycles that he has in the Bicycle Heaven, the museum. So please stick around. Much more to come here on It's Your Turn on WISR. I want to tell you about one of our sponsors on the program today, and that is Butler Motor Tours. Yeah, Butler Motor Tours. With vacation ideas for the coming year, the coming spring and summer and fall season, they've got some new trips this year, including a trip to the Bible Museum. It's in Washington, D.C., just open. They're taking a trip down there in early August. So if you've heard about the Bible Museum, it's been in the news. Also, the new show this year at the Millennium Theater in Lancaster, PA. Now, they've been doing biblical epics for many, many, many years, and the show changes every year. This year, the show is entitled Jesus, and it'll be big. It'll be huge. They're taking several trips down. The first one will be in mid-March, so check it out at Butler Motor Tours. Also, another trip to the Ark Encounter, the full-scale replica of Noah's Ark. That's a trip later this year. You can go to Mackinac Island for the Lilac Festival in early summer. That sells out pretty early every year. And lots of other vacation ideas, too. Part of the fun is just browsing and thinking, oh, that would be nice. That would be nice. Check out their website, butlerbus.com, butlerbus.com. Butler Motor Tours, a local company on South Monroe Street in Butler. They've been around here for more than 75 years. We'll be back to talk more with our guest, Craig Morrow, here on It's Your Turn, right after these words.
For more than 130 years, the name Concordia has meant quality care. Today, Concordia Visiting Nurses has provided high-quality, skilled nursing and a variety of therapy services to people in and around our community. Concordia Visiting Nurses is here to foster your recovery right in your own home. If you're in need of home health care, choose Concordia Visiting Nurses. Call toll-free at 1-877-352-6200.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 6767. The pick 3, 196196. Pick 4, 9763. Pick 5, 35904. Wild ball for each of those is 2. The treasure hunt is 5, 20, 21, 22, and 25. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $80,000.
Whether you're a backyard car fixer-upper or an auto repair shop, Milich Auto Wrecking is still the place to go for new and used auto and truck parts. They have been for over 40 years. And compared to factory prices, you'll save big bucks. Milich Auto Wrecking is neatly organized and will tell you immediately if they have the part or not. Open Monday through Thursday, 9 to 5. It's Milich Auto Wrecking, Route 38, the Oneida Valley Road. Look for the big black and red sign. Stop by or call 287-1001. And yes, old Uncle Fred still goes to Milich.
Welcome back, listeners. We're chatting with Craig Morrow. He's the owner of Bicycle Heaven in Pittsburgh, the world's largest bicycle museum and bike shop. I want to talk about some of your vintage bikes, Craig. Do you have any of those? I don't know how to describe them. They're really old-time bikes with one gigantic wheel and one little tiny wheel. You know what I'm talking about?
Sure, that's the high wheel bikes, and we do have some of those down there, four or five of them. And they're a bike that was, you know, it's in the 1880s and 90s, things like that.
I've seen them in the movies. I've never actually seen one up close and personal.
They can be quite tall, and we have a few different sizes down there. And we actually even have a bike that's an all-wooden bicycle, and that was made before that bicycle, and they would have been they would be called a bone shaker bicycle. And we have one of those down there as well, and they're as old as the 1860s.
Now, the ones with the high bike, is that the term you used, high bike?
The high wheel bike.
Yeah, high wheel. The rider sat atop the big wheel. The little wheel in front was kind of a steering mechanism, but there was no chain or anything. You pedaled the wheel directly, right?
Yeah, you pedaled the front wheel, and it's actually an art to be able to get up on one and get off of one. Some of them didn't even have brakes on them. And, you know, you had to run with the bike to be able to jump up on it. It had a little bar there where pedestal where you could jump up on it. And to get off, like I said, it was an art in itself. You had to know how to get off the bike without falling.
Yeah, and if you did fall, it was a long way down.
It was.
Are some of those bikes still in pretty good shape, or do you refurbish them before they're put on display in the museum?
No, the ones that I have were original in good shape. So I didn't have to restore any of those.
Mm-hmm. You also have a swap meet coming up. Tell us about that.
We do. We have two bike swap meets every year. And people come from Puerto Rico, California, all around the country. And they're quite big events nowadays. And ours is in June of this year coming up, and we have one in August. And a matter of fact, actually, in Butler, there's Raps bike shop up there. It has a bike swap meet.
I know Raps, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Jeff has a swap meet. He has one coming up in January on the 20th of 2019, and that's the Days Inn. And so that's great for anybody who wants to come out and check it out. And like I said, our swap meet is on June 9th and 10th and August 25th and 26th.
What about unicycles? Do you have any unicycles there?
I probably have 20 or so. And we even have a few unicycles that were made from Schwinn that are called Giraffe unicycles, and they're quite tall. Another one of those big, tall bikes that if you don't know how to use it right, it's a long ways down.
I watch people riding unicycles, and I just shake my head. Not only does it look very difficult, but
yeah,
it looks
kind
of dangerous, too.
They are. We have a lot of unique bicycles like that. Bicycles that don't even have pedals on them. Bicycles that pedal up and down instead of around. There's a lot of unique bicycles out there. We got clown bicycles. We even have that a lot of people like, and it's is our bicycle tree, and that's actually two antique bikes that were thrown out in the field in Ohio, which they did back in the day. You just figure junk bikes out in the woods or whatever, mm-hmm. and a tree grew up and actually pulled the bikes up into the tree, and they're part of the tree. The spokes and fenders and everything grow through the tree.
I'm still trying to work on the brand of my first bicycle. Did Bridgestone ever make bicycles, Craig?
They did, and you could have easily had one of those. They made a lot of road bikes. Was it a more like a racing-type bike?
No, it was just your garden variety, 10-year-old kid's bicycle.
Yeah. But they did make some, yeah.
I'll keep thinking about it. So what's the deal today? We have, we have the multi-speed bikes. We were talking about those. Also trail bikes and mountain bikes. Is that about the same, or are they two different things as well?
Well, you have your mountain bikes. That are more of a wider tire. They usually have suspension on them. I think a lot of people buy those that don't really use them for what they're for, although they'll take the bumps and everything on the easy bike trails and things like that. And then there's recumbent bicycles. You've probably seen them where you looks like you're almost laying down. You have those. And then just your plain coaster brake bicycles are still around. Mm-hmm. I think one of the best bikes for somebody to buy is getting into bicycling now would be like a hybrid bike, something like that. It's in between a road bike and a mountain bike. I think it's your best buy nowadays.
So one of the big differences is in tires, right? Generally, mountain bikes or trail bikes have much wider tires than a regular bicycle?
Yeah, and a more aggressive tread on them. So, yeah, there's, you know, like I said, a lot of times with the mountain bikes, I think some people are sort of getting away from them a little bit, unless you're an athlete and you really ride trails. Mm-hmm. But a hybrid bike, something like that, would be a good bike for somebody to use, I think.
I have a fraternity brother I went to school with. He and his wife are avid bicycle riders, and they go all over the country to participate in rides and so on. And when you look in their garage, they they each have what I would call a regular bike, and then they each have trail bikes, you know, depending on where they're going to be going and what they're going to be. It's not necessarily competition, but it's lengthy rides, you know, or tough rides or that sort of thing.
Yes, yeah, you're right. People today don't have one bike. A lot of them have, like you said, two or three bikes for a different kind of riding.
You have a bicycle called the Bowden Spacelander at Bicycle Heaven, the world's largest bicycle museum. What the heck is that, the Bowden Spacelander?
Well, that's a sort of a dream bike for a bicycle collector because they're very rare. Benjamin Bowden designed this bicycle back in the 1940s, and it's the first fiberglass bike. It doesn't even have a metal frame in it. And he designed some Austin Healey's and Winston Churchill's armored car. So he's sort of a well-known inventor, but before he passed away, his dream was to build this very unique bicycle. It took him all the way to 1960 to actually get them out. And unfortunately, he only made 540 so of them, and we got 17 out of the probably 30 of them known. But a really unique bicycle, and that's one of our prime bikes that people like to look at when they come to the museum.
You also have theme bikes at the museum. Talk about that a little bit, Craig.
Yeah, we have, we got Pee Wee Herman's bicycle, which is one of our biggest attractions, and it's one of the bicycles used in the movie. They made 14 of them. There might be two or three of them around, and everybody knew Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, yeah, so we got that bike. We got Spider-Man bikes, and we actually have bicycles that were used in a lot of movies. Like A Beautiful Mind with Russell Crowe. You ride the bicycle.
Great movie. I remember seeing that. Yeah.
A fantastic movie. Yeah. And he rides the bike in the courtyard. He's doing like a figure eight. I guess he's thinking or whatever. And that was one of our bicycles. There's a new movie coming out called The Great One about Roberta Clemente, and we rented the bicycles for that movie as well.
Is it expensive? Is there an admission fee to get into your museum?
No, I'm glad you asked that. I don't charge anything. It's free to the public.
Wow. And
everybody's welcome. We have a donation box, and that helps out. You know, and I think when people come in, you know, they think they're just going to see bikes. And we actually have a G-scale train that goes around the shop. We have artwork, and my son has a bobblehead collection that's out of this world. So we have a sports section. And my wife even has a nail salon in there, if you can believe that. And she's a massage therapist. So we have something for everybody.
What about accessories? I can remember the day I got a horn, a battery-operated horn for my bicycle. I couldn't stop blowing the darn thing.
Yeah, we have bicycle, yes, accessories, vintage ones, new ones, bells, horns, and maybe you remember the old sirens they used to make that you pulled up with the chain and would rub up on the wheel. Do you remember those at all?
Yes, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, they were so realistic, they actually outlawed them because you would ride your bike down the road and people would pull over because they thought it was a fire truck coming down or whatever.
Something else we used to do, I just remember this, Craig. We'd fix a piece of cardboard to one of the frame pieces on the rear wheel, usually stealing a couple of clothespins from mom's clothesline.
Sure.
And then the noise that it would make as you rode down the street, it almost sounded like you had a motor in there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and you know how many people used baseball cards, and they probably ruined a lot of famous baseball cards doing that.
I never thought of doing that. I always used cardboard. Boy, you've triggered a lot of memories for me here about bike riding, and it's becoming much bigger for adults now, too. Although the one big change from when we were kids, everybody wears a helmet now.
That's true, isn't it? I know when we used to ride our bikes, going off jumps and things like that, using old banana seat bikes. And now the big thing is, of course, is BMX bike riding for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they still do that, of course. But you're right, now they got the whole gear. It's almost like having a motorcycle. You get the helmet, the pads, and everything. It's a lot more safer now than